On the morning of Monday, 15th of October 2018, Belgians woke up to the news that the Belgian Green parties had swept into second and even first place across a lot of the country in the local elections. Historic news. And this on the same weekend that Greens in Luxembourg and in the German state of Bavaria saw record highs in their elections. So what happened? Welcome to the first episode of our Green Wave series. In this series, we take a look at the wave of Green election successes that have taken place in 2018. From Luxembourg, Belgium and Germany, all the way to Rwanda and Canada. What's behind these wins? Is the tide turning? Today we're talking to Lise Schwimmer, who stood as a candidate in the Belgium elections. These were the first local elections in 6 years, and the stakes were high in a country where local government holds a lot of power. The Greens and the other political parties, both on the Flemish and French-speaking side, hoped for an opportunity to change the political scene. This has been dominated since 2014 by a right-wing coalition dominated by far-right independence movement from Flanders, the NVA, and headed by Charles Michel from the liberal and right-wing reform movement. What October revealed was a huge shift. The Flemish-speaking part of Belgium, Flanders, saw a huge swing towards the Greens, who will enter into government in many of the main cities and who are considered the second winner of the elections. As for French-speaking Wallonia, the Greens firmly established themselves as the third party and gained local mayors and a huge number of local representatives, especially in Brussels. So how did the far right do? Well, it depends on how you look at it. In one way, it was decimated. In Wallonia, the Front National are effectively dead in the water. In Flanders, the far right Vlaams Belang also lost many seats. But the far-right independence party NVA consolidated their gains as the main party in Flanders. The clear losers, though, were the traditional parties. So why this shift in public opinion, and what does it mean for the future of the country and the future of Europe? Let's turn now to Lise Anne Sedin. Enjoy.
So thank you, Lise, for coming on to the podcast. We're really glad to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
So let me just jump right in. This interview is for our new series called The Green Wave, because, as you know, since October, we've been receiving great news and incredible election results from the Greens of Bavaria, from Luxembourg, and of course, Belgium. And you were a part of the campaign in Brussels. At least to me, it looks like this is truly a historical time for the Green parties of Belgium. They got record numbers of votes and seats and basically did incredibly well in the recent elections of the 14th of October, coming either first or second in most of the regions of Brussels. So what do you think was key to this huge increase and success? And can we or should we see these results as a turning point for Belgium and Europe?
Thanks for your question. Thanks for having me over in this podcast. Indeed, I was a candidate for local elections in Belgium, in the commune of Ixelles. Well, yeah, I mean, that was definitely a huge increase and success for the Greens last 14th of October. And we still didn't realize how much more seats we got and success. I think there is different explanations for that. Obviously, there is some kind of cyclical way. I mean, in 2009, the Greens in Belgium were also very successful. Then they entered into a government. And in 2014, the elections were very much of a, I mean, they got a very big decrease in their voters. So over the last 5 years, there has been a lot of efforts in terms of reconciling the Greens with the population. And I think this is like part of this effort. I mean, this result we got from all this collective work. A few key things. I would say, first of all, there has been a change in the leadership of Ecolo with Zaka Katabi and Patrick Dupriez, which have shown a very clear line and a very dynamic pair of people, like very, I mean, outstanding and outspoken. So that was very, very much like they definitely were a great part of this success. There has been also a lot of work in terms of reconciling civil societies with Green Party. And this was shown also in the composition of the list in terms of candidates. There was a lot of candidates from associations, not necessarily from the Greens, but from associations very, very close to the Greens or would share like the same objective or goals in for their life. There was also, like, in terms of the list, a lot of young women, like, also we, like, list were very diverse. So I think that was also a very much of an incentive for people to vote for the Greens. Among the elected person from Ecolo, there are 70% of women. I think this was also the result of a long-standing commitment at local level. I mean, like, Ecolo hasn't been working on their campaign just for the last months. I mean, it has been a work which has been built together with the local inhabitants for years. And that, I think that was also the payoff. So that's more like maybe the methods or methodology, which explained maybe why the Greens were so successful. We also benefited, of course, from a change from traditional parties. I mean, which in Belgium are, I mean, like French-speaking Belgium are like Socialist Party and Mouvement Réformateur. So the MR, which is more the right party. So we benefited from, of course, like a lot of their voters came to us. And I think one key explanation is they preferred basically the original rather than the copy. So the Greens have always been very leader in terms of speaking about climate change, environment, the link between our environment and social economic conditions. And this has never been so important in our lives and in the lives of many of our citizens. And I think that was also why people this time voted for the Greens, because everybody is talking about ecology, but not a lot of people are actually, not a lot of parties are actually doing it. And I think this, I mean, this is also what was said a lot, like they, like voters preferred the original rather than the copy. And to answer the second part of your question, like, was that a turning point for Europe? Well, I mean, at least to me, that was the first time in a long time, a first weekend of electoral results that we didn't speak about extreme right, but we spoke about Greens. And I must say, even for people who do not vote for Greens, that was kind of a relief, because we are just changing a bit the discourse. It's not so much about populism, nationalism, which are very much present still, but we can see there is a third way. And I mean, we always have been confident about that. Like, we always thought between neoliberalism and populism and nationalism, there is a third way, and that's actually political ecology. But now the elections are showing that as well. And I would say in that sense, that's indeed a turning point and definitely a more optimistic one than the other elections before that.
Yeah. And I guess how you got good results is as important as why you got good results. And I'm referring to the campaigning front and of standing for elections, because we've already mentioned that you were part of the campaign standing in Excel, where the European Parliament is located, which makes the area one of the most diverse neighborhoods of Brussels. So I was wondering, on your campaign, what the main issues that people felt strongly about were, and what did you and Ecolo decide to focus on?
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's a very good point you're making about Ixelles, because in Ixelles, for example, like in Saint-Gilles, there are more non-Belgian people living in the commune than Belgian people. So that's indeed very interesting, knowing that in Belgium, non-EU citizens and non-Belgian citizens have still the right to vote in local elections, which also is quite interesting, even though not a lot of people are actually registered for voting, because this is also for administrative reasons. But that was just a point I wanted to make. And this is, was also something reflected in the list of Ecolo, with a lot of, for example, in Ixelles, I think among the 10 first candidates, there are like four people which are non-Belgian. So that's quite interesting. But coming back to your questions, I think in terms of like going campaigning on the field, I think like the main concerns of people are definitely about their social and economic condition, like, you know, or the future of their children. And I think this is, our priorities were about climate change and air pollution and our environment. And I think that was really meeting the expectation of people, because people are starting realizing that climate or ecology is something very much related to their social and economic condition. Because, I mean, if you're already in a very precarious situation, you are definitely going to be the person which is going to be suffering more from the effect of climate change or air pollution. I mean, it's easier to fight against air pollution when you have like good access to health than when you don't have the resources to go to a doctor, for example. I mean, that's a bit simplistic what I'm saying, but I just, like, you know, the correlation between social and economic condition and our relationship with climate change or nature is very much important. And I think this is something people are get more and more in nowadays. So I think our two main priority, and that was not only for Excel, but also like for all Greens in Brussels capital. I mean, I cannot talk that much about Wallonia because I was not campaigning there. And obviously the context is slightly different. So one thing was air pollution, which is a fléau. It's like very much of a disaster in Brussels. I mean, we estimate like 12,000 people dying because of air pollution in Belgium every year. So that's really a lot. And for example, this shows very much, I mean, this is linked with, it's not only climate or nature, it's like it's affecting our way of life, our health, I mean, everything, like our daily life. So there was very much of a focus. And obviously with the air pollution comes mobility, how you organize a city and urbanism. A second very important pillar of our campaign was about transparency, democracy, governance at local level. I mean, in the recent months or years, perhaps, like, there has been two big cases in Belgium, like Publifin cases in Wallonia and Samy Social in Brussels, where there was a lot of conflict of interest and about elected people actually having conflict of interest and getting a lot of money for that. And Ecolo each time were at the forefront of revealing those cases and fighting and finding some measures against those cases. So I think having a very clear discourse about that was very also key. And even though Ecolo is a very established party, there has never been any scandal of corruption or anything. So I think these people were attracted to that. They really say, like, reading a lot of testimonies of one where why people decided to vote Ecolo, this really was also key. And I think two other things which were very important in the campaign were solidarity and open society. I mean, in Belgium, the federal government is very much a right. Some would say extreme right. I mean, I would say extreme right government, but this is not shared by everybody, where there is very much of a struggle against migrants. I mean, migrants are hunted, basically, and not welcomed at all. And a lot of citizens are also mobilizing them and trying to show some solidarity, and like solidarity is criminalized in Belgium today. So it's sort of solidarity, open society. I mean, we are stronger together. We can actually do things, and we have the resources to actually welcome people which are fleeing their own country. This was also very, very much appreciated, I think, and not only by our core voters, but also by voters which normally would vote for the right or liberals, but we're very much concerned about the way liberals are dealing with not welcoming people, but even worse, let's say, criminalizing the fact of being coming to Belgium because of economic or political reasons. And another issue, which was, this is more within my community itself, that was the issue of housing, because Brussels is welcoming more and more people, like from a lot of other cities. I mean, it's a very dynamic city, and there is a scarcity of housing, and also like promotion is very much affecting like prices in Excel especially, and there is very much of a lack of social housing. So that was also one of our key focus. I mean, obviously there were also a lot of different things on about culture, about people living together, like installing places where people can actually do things together or connect again together. But I would say that's very much linked about solidarity, open society as well.
Yeah, it's fascinating. But I gotta be honest, when it comes to elections in general, I find how the results are covered by media as interesting as the actual results.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why we're doing this podcast is the way the mainstream media covers the Greens' achievements and green politics in general, looking at how the recent local elections were reported on mainstream media outlets. I mean, the headlines basically implied that people were in shock to see how well the Greens did. So should Greens achieving these results come as this kind of a huge shock, as most mainstream media outlets in Europe has reported? Or did you kind of see this coming?
Well, it's a bit of an in between. We knew we will make good. Like, we knew, like, the climate was very, very, very much on our favor. I mean, when you go to a market or when you go outside of a supermarket and you start talking to people, and people are like, oh yeah, I'm going to vote for the Greens this time. Like, you know, you feel from the reactions of people which are very positive or very supportive as well. I mean, that's something we could feel. There was also different surveys which were showing that the Greens will progress. In the last years, when there's been like cases, like the cases I was referring to before, the Greens were at the forefront, so we were showing a different image on politics. We could feel something was coming, we did not see coming the wave. I mean, at least I did not. And probably most of my people around me did not see it as much. I mean, we knew we would perform good, but we didn't think, for example, we will get the first party in Excel. And I mean, not only the first party, but between us and the second one, there was 8 points difference. So, you know, I remember the night of the elections, someone texting me and say, yeah, Ecolo is like 33%. In our commune, but we're still lacking a few polling stations which haven't been open. And I was like, okay, 33%, that's quite interesting. That's not going to move much, maybe 31, 35, but that's not going to move much. But I was very curious. And when I arrived at the headquarters of the campaign, and I was like, how much did the Liberals and the Socialists score? And I think someone told me, yeah, the Liberals are like 24. And I was like, oh my God, it's like 8, 9 points. And I was like, that's not possible. And then I realized, yes, that's much more. And I remember our head of list, Christos Zoutkeridis, which is now the bourgmestre, or like the mayor of Ixelles, he also at first didn't believe it. Like, we knew we would perform good. Ecolo was already the second party in Ixelles, but we thought it would be tight and we would be like with the Liberals and Socialists more end to end or shoulders. Yeah. And no, neck we were neck. Far beyond and neck to neck. Yes, thank you. And in other communes, I mean, that was a bit the same. I mean, we knew we would progress, but we would not think we would progress that much. And for example, in Watermael-Boisfort, where actually it was already a green mayor, they made like, I think, 8 to 10 points more. I mean, that's super huge. And also in Wallonia, there was like a lot of cities where the Greens progressed and entered into majorities, because, I mean, it's good to have more votes, but then it's good also to get into responsibility, to actually make being able to do things. Like, for example, in Brussels region, there was 19 communes or 19 localities. Ecolo as the mayor in 3 of them and is in the majority of 13 of them. This is huge. I mean, in Wallonia, there is a key cities like, for example, in Mons or in Tournai, where we actually get into the majority. There are much more of them, but I don't know them. I mean, there's too many. And in some of them, they are still negotiating. But this is huge. And I think coming back to let's say mainstream media, which is very interesting, is like when it's a vote for the Green, it's a vote against something. And this is where I disagree. Yes, like, you know, some people do not want to vote for traditional parties that vote for us, but more and more, this is not an anti-vote, it's a pro-ecolo vote. So it's more of a convergence of view, or like people agreeing with what we are proposing. I think this is a change.
Yeah, and the point you made about these results also coming with a lot of responsibility now. That was the perfect segue to my next question, because I wanted to talk about the future. Going forward, what would you say the priorities for the Greens elected in Brussels will be?
Well, I mean, as you say, with big results, big responsibilities. And it was, I mean, I was very proud, because on the same evening and the day after, our co-president, Sakia Katabian, Patrick Duprier, really had this like discourse of responsibility. I mean, we won, but we really have a lot to do, and we cannot disappoint our voters and citizens. So the priorities, like, it's basically the same as what we had in the campaign. So ecolo politics could be resumed in a more like social, democratic and sustainable society. And I think this is what we want to achieve in our work at local level. So one definitely priority will be air pollution and mobility. And what is very interesting now is like being in 13 communes or 13 localities, it will be much easier to coordinate our action, because there is a lot of layers of administrative competencies in Brussels, which sometimes prevent from developing things or projects or new policies. And now being in power in a lot of places, that will be definitely easier. I think that will smooth the situation. Definitely governance and better administration within our localities, but also implementing our program in terms of social housing. Basically, our priorities during the campaign are also the ones we're going to implement now, being in the responsibilities. In Belgium, there will be elections again on the 26th of May, so regional elections, federal elections and European elections. And I think one of the priorities as well, because we can be elected as many as local level we want, if we do not have like other level of powers, that would be difficult to implement as much as we want our program. So it's very important as much also to secure being in power in other level. So this is also one of the priority. Now we have to show what we can do in order to get the confidence of people for the next elections in May.
And another great segue, because my next question was going to be about that. Yeah, I wanted to go from kind of local and national politics to more European and Europe-wide politics. So We've been talking about the fact that Greens seem to be on a roll, but this is, of course, a bit threatening for the traditional socialist parties on the central left. And but this surge, the Green Wave, came just in time, just like you said, for next May's Europe-wide ballot. So based on these results, the results of the local elections, what are your predictions for the European parliamentary elections in 2019?
I mean, it's very difficult to say because there is a lot of uncertainty. And obviously, I mean, socialists are decreasing a bit everywhere. I mean, in Wallonia, Brussels, Flanders, but also Germany or Luxembourg. But I mean, they're not going to stay like that. They are going to react as well. Huh? So it's difficult. I mean, I'm quite optimistic with the Greens. I mean, especially for like Germany, Benelux, I mean, Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg, France as well can be a very good surprise, I think. But then it's difficult to say. I mean, we got like Finland, which can bring like a lot of MEPs, but Sweden, which like the last election results for the Greens were not that positive. There is Italy as well, which remain very unknown because we do not know yet whether there will be a list for the Greens, and that could be very much of a big addition to our to the group in the European Parliament. Everything is a bit up in the air, I would say, for now, but we're quite optimistic. I mean, a lot of people were saying the Greens are kind of disappear, but I really don't think so. I mean, I think we're going to make more seats than we have at the moment. And for Belgium, for example, for now we have one Flemish MEP, Bart Staes, and one French-speaking MEP, Philippe Lambert, which is also the co-president of the Greens. And also my boss, by the way. And we expect to have like at least two on the French-speaking side and two on the Flemish side. So that's quite a positive development. And there was something I kind of forgot to mention about like the Greens' results about Belgium, which is very interesting. In the south of the country, Brussels, Wallonia, it's much more the left is getting in, like much more voters. So because the Greens are progressing a lot, the socialists are decreasing a bit, but they are more or less staying the same in some parts of the country. And the extreme left, PTB, is progressing as well. So like liberals are decreasing. And in the north of the country, I mean, Flanders, the Greens are also progressing. Groen is like scoring 18%, is entering a lot of majority. But the socialists are like really decreasing. We see like the same trend as in Bavaria or in Hesse or in Luxembourg. But the NVA, which is a very neoliberal, nationalistic, extreme right party, is like still being the first party in Flanders. So this is also very striking in terms of like the equilibrium of the country and the next ballots, because that like the country is very much divided in terms of political orientation.
And this seems is like a bit, very polarized as well.
Yeah, exactly. Polarized is the right word. And this is going to be very interesting. And there is really a lot of differences. So,
yeah, so a lot of uncertainties, but still a great and hopeful note to end on, I think.
Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, after the weekend of the Green Wave, a lot of analysts, political analysts, they were really speaking about the third way between neoliberalism and nationalist. And this is like political ecology. And this is very interesting because I think this is also show a different way. Like people see us in a different way. Like commentators see us in a different way. And I think coming back to your question on mainstream media, that will change as well the treatment we get and the coverage we get, yeah. I would say. And this is giving me much hope for EU elections because a lot of people, for example, Macron in France wants to divide people between pro-European and populism or nationalism. But there is not only one way to be pro-European. There is not only the way of ultra-liberalism like it is now, and there is a different way. That's the way we promote. I mean, we can remain in the EU and still reform the EU and make it more social and democratic and sustainable. I mean, there is ways to do that, and we are working on it. So this is where there is a third way. That would be maybe my conclusion.
Yeah, and it seems like more and more people started seeing that. Yeah. Seems like, at least looking at the results. So that was, a great and hopeful note to end on. Thank you, Lise, for doing this.
Thank you, Seddon. Thank you for having me.
All right, folks. If you enjoyed that interview, check out our previous interviews on topics like European politics and political ecology, or the link between race equality and environmentalism. You can follow us on Twitter at Big Green Pop Pod. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the show so you can hear it every 2 weeks. You can find us on any podcast platform. Thanks so much, and see you in 2 weeks.